This is Pastor Mike Ecclestone speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Matthew chapter 8. If you give me just a hair more volume for my no speaking in 10 days voice. Matthew chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 5, read down through verse 13. Have a word of prayer and don't fall out of the raft. We're going on the river. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the good hymns. Thank you for the good spirit. And thank you for the safety you provided everyone here in our absence, and for my wife and me and myself going and coming and all everything that we did while we were there. We are truly a blessed people. And so now we look to thee to take your word and use it to our spiritual understanding, that we may know what it is that you want for us here this morning. And I don't think that there's a saved person here that will be exempt from what we're about to discuss. And if there is an unsaved person here, Father, I pray that the conviction of sin and the inability to pay for that sin would be so great that they would come to Christ before the service is over, or at least at the end of it. So have your way. I just ask that I don't say too much or too little, and that this is what you want as you really burden my heart for it. And we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and our healing of the centurion's servant in this Matthew chapter 8, we find in verse 10 our Lord's estimation of his faith. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, none in Israel. What was he referring to? Verse 8. When he said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Mark it down in your heart or in your Bible if you haven't. Speak the word only. All right? Go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. And I'm only going to look at one verse here, and then we'll go to chapter 24. In verse 16, Joshua 1:16. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. All that thou commandest us. So everything that was spoken, we're going to do it. Right? Chapter 24. And a lot of things have happened between chapter 1 and chapter 24. All the original people that said, we're going to do whatever you say, we're going to go and serve the Lord and do whatever you want us to do, are dead. And you got a new generation that's come along. And so now, everything that he said in chapter 1, he has to say all over again, and with different emphasis. So you go down here to verse 20, chapter 24, and he's reminding them of what they had already done. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. His voice will we obey. All right? Now, obviously, that today that's according to your the Bible. So go with me to Luke chapter 5. In our hymnals, specifically hymn number 411, we have a song called "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." All right, the chorus says this: "Hold the fort, for I am coming." Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace, we will. What is it, by thy grace, we will? We'll hold the fort because he's coming. All right? Now, I trust that you're getting a connection here. And if you didn't, then the people that live in California, I'll have to explain it. All right? By the way, those of you who didn't get a bulletin aren't going to know what I'm saying here, but there's a church in California that is building a brewery. And in the brewery, they're going to also have church. And according to the article, the pastor said, hey, we like beer, so why not build a brewery, and then we'll give some of the profits, probably very little of the profits, to nonprofit organizations or whatever. And then he said, in any way, if you have a couple of beers, you preach better sermons. So I want you to know I've had no beers. And I also want you to know that if I had a couple, it would be worse. Okay? And I want you to know that what he said is blasphemous. But that's where we're going. I mean, that's the nature of today. Luke chapter 5. And beginning in verse 1, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. What did he teach them? They were there to hear, in verse 1, the word of God. I hope you're here today to hear the word of God. What else do we have to offer? There's lots of things to offer in other places, but you know, I don't have those. I have this. Now, when he had left speaking, he had said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. All right? Verse 5 is the foundation for the message this morning, and the phrase is five words. At thy word, I will. Very important. You put the connection between Joshua and Matthew, the centurion's servant. Simon did not understand what the Lord was saying. But he understood, this is why the nevertheless was there. The Lord knows why, and he knows best. Amen. And if we're put in our place, we would understand that. We need to nevertheless in some of the circumstances we're in. Okay, so I'm going to start with this. So go back to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm starting with, I'm going to use the word I, but then I'm going to also use the word we. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Listen, you cannot make disciples of Christ with lost people. It doesn't work. All right, so this first one that says, I will go and preach the gospel to all the nations. Now, my nation is kind of limited, but we have an internet that does a lot of what we cannot do. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, in giving out tracts or brochures, or even standing and holding signs, I believe that you're always there looking to see what interests people that you talk to. And I have to explain that. I don't believe you can be successful if you don't care about the people you're addressing. If you're there and you don't care, you just want to give out material and the material's there, but you really don't care about them, I don't think you're going to be successful. I mean, it's good that they get that material. I did that to one boy down at McDonald's in South Miami. And he took the tract home, and the next day there was a big argument during a downtime at the store. And he knew nothing, and he stood up, and he got it all. He got all of it. He did. I mean, that was very unusual. I think it's, listen, I've talked with, I'm not zeroing in on Calvinists per se, but I've talked with Calvinist people, and I asked them, why do you bother to give out the gospel? Why do you bother to witness? And you know what the answer is? Because we're commanded to do it. But where's the interest in the people when you have no part in their salvation anyway? You can't convict them of the Holy Spirit if they're not part of what they believe is the elect. It's not going to do you any good. So that what compassion do they have? They don't. They're just giving it out because it's the thing to do. Just like being in church. Well, it's the thing to do. Where's your compassion for the truth? So I think it's true in witnessing. I think it's true in teaching. I think it's true in preaching. There's a lot of information here. If you just give it out to give it out, you don't care about what happens with the people, you're not going to be successful. You're just not. You have to see where people are. You just do. Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you know what? When you go fishing, it takes time. And if you go to a place where there's no fish, you keep moving and moving and moving until you find fish. It's the same thing with witnessing. I don't think you have to move too far. I think they're everywhere. And it's important. Now, there's obviously a point to what I'm about to do, and I hope you'll stay with me until I get to the end. All right, Monday on the 20th, we took out of here a little after 4. We drove straight through until we stopped at a small town, interstate town, in the southern part of Georgia to get something to eat. Well, we had our dog with us, had our chocolate lab with us. So you have to eat outside. And so we were there, we're eating. There's a woman that's sitting inside, and she keeps looking out. She's eating, she's drinking, she keeps looking outside. Finally, she's done, and she comes out. And she wants, I didn't realize in the beginning what a magnet our dog was for people. And it was great. It was like she was a type of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were just coming. So she comes over, she's all interested in the dog, and then she leaves, and she gets a dog out of her car. And she wants Sadie to meet this dog. So they meet, and she goes back in the car, starts it up, and I thought she was going to go take off. So I grabbed the track real quick, and went up to the window, scared her. And so gave her the track, and she says, "Oh, I think I remember these things." And I said, "Good." I said, "Do you know for sure that you're saved and that you're going to heaven?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, how do you know?" She says, "Well, I got saved a year ago." And she was in her 50s, probably, don't you think? Easy. And I said, "Well, what did you do to get saved?" And so she told me, and it was right down the line. I mean, there was nothing wrong with what she said. It was good. And so I got some more information out of her. Understand, I'm not a how to win friends and influence people guy. I was interested in her. I could see she had issues. And she told me she had been homeless for like 3 years way back, and she works two or three jobs now, and we're just going on. And then I came right back to where I started with, and I said, "So you know for sure that you're saved and you're going to heaven?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "What about tomorrow? What about next week? What about next month or next year?" And she looked me right in the eyes and she said, "I don't have a single clue." I said, "Do you want to?" She said, "Oh, yes." So I went to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." I said, "What's your name?" "Lisa." I said, "Miss Lisa, for God so loved Miss Lisa, that he gave his only begotten son." You know who that is, and it's going through. "That whosoever," I said, "You know who whosoever is?" She says, "Me?" And I said, "Absolutely. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what kind of life?" I said, "You want me to read it?" "Yes, everlasting life." "Now, what kind of life do you get when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ?" He says, "Everlasting life." "Is that tomorrow?" She said, "You can't script these, you know?" And the light went on. She got this big smile on her teeth, on her face, no teeth to speak of. And she says, "Everlasting, tomorrow, and next month, and next year." So I told her who I was. "You're a preacher? Wow." And then we went on and on. And the church that she was, what led me to that? Talking to her and finding out that the church she was going to was questionable. And knowing what they teach, that she probably doesn't have any security whatsoever. How would you like to know or not know that tomorrow what Christ did for you is not good enough? And so therefore it has to happen all over again. And it can't happen. And so in the meantime, the lady walked up to Linda, and she was the dog draw her there, and she was talking to her, and we got in the car, and I said, "This is going to be a good vacation. This is a great start, you know." So then the following Monday was our rafting trip. Nobody signed up but the two of us. School was in session, so everybody had to go back to work and the whole thing. So we signed up for a half day. So the guide was there. One of the owners was there. And I really, everything about this, you knew the Lord had his hand in. And so the instructions and the equipment that you put on, everything was just right down the line. And so we were out there, found out a lot about him. He found out a lot about us. We had a great time. And like I wrote to Micah, we survived, you know, and it was good. So we came back, and we were finishing up. It was very affordable, And I told him who, you know, that I was a pastor. And I said, I would be remiss to just pay you the money and leave and not be concerned for your soul. And I said, and I am concerned for your soul. And I gave him the tract that talked about the limited time, I think, which said something like that. We have a limited time. And explained that to him. And then that opened up another whole area. And I told him, you know, and I'm in the Bible Belt. You've got Baptist churches everywhere. And so I said, I'm not one of these that believes that what I'm giving you is religion. I believe what I'm giving you is truth. And it's based on God's Word. And I said, you've got some issues with religion, I said, don't be afraid to tell me because I'm going to agree with you. And he did. And I agreed with him, which negated all the arguments. Because he says, I'm tired of seeing people say one thing and not live it. And I said, so am I. I said, the one thing that I've always tried to do is teach everybody to be genuine. Don't try to pretend to be something you're not or someone you're not. And he was so open, he didn't get saved, but he just drank this in. And he lived a long way off, down in Asheville from where we were. So I couldn't, you know, have the church there follow up on him. But the reception to the truth, I mean, we were really riding one of the class 3 or class 4 rapid waves because people were open. So then we go from there and we go up to Tennessee and we go up on the overlook to take pictures at sunset. Nobody's up there. It's an 880-foot climb. Not up, but 150 feet up, 880 feet to get to it. And you're pretty tired by the time you get up there. Nobody there. And the next thing we know, you hear voices. And a little boy, 6-year-old boy, and his mother are coming up, and she's in high heels. None of us can figure out how she made it up there. And so we said we'd take pictures of them, and then she said to take a picture of us, and then come 5 college kids. So now there's 7 of us up there, and we're all talking. Little boy picks up a handful of rocks. The dog's up there, again, the magnet, and throws. And if you know Sadie, she chases everything. And so he throws them out over the overlook. And the dog bolted, and I said, stop. She would have gone. She would have gone right down, rolled over, and whatever, and come back. So anyway, she leaves. So this is the boy. We have nothing with us. We're a ball of sweat. And so we go down later on, about 5-10 minutes after she leaves, and the kids stay up top. So we're not far from the bottom, but there's a long way to go. And she's walking back to her car with the boy and gets in the car and shuts the door. And the taillight goes on. So I know she started the car. I got bad knees. I can't run. So I just did a quick prayerism. Lord, keep them there. And he did. I went in, got the tracts out of the car, knocked on her window, and gave both of them tracts. And she said, and it was Chick Track at that time, and she said, I remember these when I was a little girl. And me and my friend were scared to death. And I said, good. I said, were you scared enough to get saved? And she just looked at me. And I said, I went through the gospel with her, and I said, do you know for sure? And she says, well, I'm striving. And I said, you'll never strive enough. Right. Right. Never. And I explained to her all again. And she said, I guess the Lord wanted you to talk to me. I said, absolutely. And, you know, and she went on, by now the kids come down. And so I've got 4 or 5 more tracks. And these are college kids. College kids today are not very receptive. These were. Each and every one. They were considerate, they were respectful, and they were interested in what we had to say. You can't You can't beat that. So why? Here's my question, and I asked this of myself first. Why is it that we can do these things when we go away? When we're out of our familiarity, they find it so difficult here. Does Mark 16:15 say, go into all the world outside of your town and preach the gospel? No. You know what we do? We set the time and we set the place. But the time and place has already been set. At thy word, I will. At thy word, we will. We don't set that time. We don't set that place. And it's amazing. How many opportunities have we missed because of our setting it to the time and place when it's already been set for us? And all we had to do, at thy word, I will. All right, here's the second one. Jude, verse 3. Do you ever wonder what would happen here locally if we, to a person, were to take Luke 5:5, at thy word I will, with the gospel to other people? Do you have any idea what would happen? It's not happening. But do you have any idea what would happen? There'd be a lot of changes in you and probably with other people as well. Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, which were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wanted to write to him about salvation, but it was needful. It was God's will that he write to them to contend for the faith. So I put down, I will earnestly contend for the faith. At thy word, I will earnestly contend for the faith, because it's needful. Listen, the apostasy continues to grow when I refuse, or when we refuse, or we ignore the warning signs of apostasy. And they're there. They're everywhere. It doesn't take much. And the common answers that usually we get, well, at thy word, let another stand for the faith. Let somebody else do this. Or, you're just making too much of this. You're just making too much of nothing. No, I'm making very little of at thy word I will contend for the faith, because it's important. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? Are the Mormons going to do it? Are the Jehovah Witnesses going to do it? Are the Charismatics going to do it? Are the Catholics going to do it? Are Islam going to do it? No, we've been given this. And it's not just for me. It's for all of us. It's a we thing. At thy word, I will. Jeremiah 15. Here's, what is it, the third one, I think. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. And this one has to do with, I will study his word. We will study his word. At thy word, we will study his word. Okay, look at verse 16, 15, 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You study because somebody says you need to study. You have to study God's word. Look what he said. Thy words were found, and I ate them. I put them into me. And that word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart, because I'm called by your name. I want to do this. This is something that I need to do, that God wants me to do. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You'll never rightly divide the word of truth until you study. Well, I'm depending on you. Well, that's a small fraction of your life. You're gonna meet a plethora of things all around you that I have no dealings with. But if you're rightly dividing the word of truth, you'll be able to do that. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. You know, it's a sin not to study. If you can read, you can study. And the more you study, the more questions you'll have. And the more questions you'll have, the more you'll find other places so that you can compare Scripture with Scripture, and you'll get answers. It doesn't work any other way. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Time is at hand. At thy word I will hear. I will read and hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things. Read, hear, keep equals blessing. Not doing it to be blessed, doing it because it's the right thing to do. Study. It comes from study. So what would happen if Fahrenheit 451, the science fiction book of back in the 50s or 60s, were to happen in our country? And they burn all the books. They burn all the Bibles. What kind of a Bible would you be to another person? Would you know anything? Would you care? Well, you'd be the only Bible they know. And would it be rightly divided at all? I took a picture outside the cafe that we try to go to normally at least one time, far down from the cabin, and across the street was a sign. It says, welcome to Wolf Laurel Community or something. And underneath that is, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. And then five Baptist churches down this narrow old country road within 10 miles. Two to the right of us, I don't know the distance, one in back of us, and two or three to the left of us. All within 10 miles. All Baptist churches, many of them not having pastors that know anything about the Word. And so one church could differ completely from another church doctrinally because there's no rightly dividing the Word. And most of them are family-oriented. I have a family of eight people, and they have a family, and so there we are in our little church. It's sad, but that's what it is. And so, you know, we read, and we hear, and we keep it. And you rightly divide it through study. At thy word, I will study his word. At his word, we will study his word. I can't make you do that. But this is what you need to do. All right, the next one, you don't need to look it up. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, so I put, at thy word, I will let my light shine for you, Lord. At thy word, we will let his word shine for us. We will live what we profess to be. It's important. At thy word, I will. Right? Luke chapter 18. You don't need to turn there either. I'm doing shortcuts here. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. At thy word, I will be a man of prayer. At thy word, we will be men of prayer, men and women of prayer, boys and girls of prayer. We have in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We should be people of prayer. Because it's at thy word, we're agreeing with God's word. I will. Titus chapter 2. We're almost done. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I will be looking, watching, waiting for Christ's expected return at any moment. I would hope that we would be a people that will be looking, watching, waiting for Christ's expected return at any moment. At thy word, I will. Okay? Go back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, where we started, basically. In verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. What a result! All right, so now let's look how this got distributed to Simon and the disciples. Verse 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. By thy word I will. Let's go and be astonished. Let's go and be amazed at what God does through us. Why would you want anything different? There it is. They were an astonished people. How astonished have you ever been in witnessing? In your obedience to the Word. I'm sure you've been astonished sometime. But look, here it is. Here's the deep, deep secret, so to speak. At thy word, I will. I will obey the word. I will do this. I'll have a concern for people. I'll keep looking for the Lord. I'll manifest good works so that people will glorify my Father which is in heaven. I will do all these things. At thy word, I will. And the result, I have something here to look forward to being astonished. We have something to look forward to being astonished as a local church at what the Lord will do at His Word, by His Word, if we just obey it from the heart. Let's pray. As you bow your heads and close your eyes here this morning, I have some idea of where you might be spiritually, but I do not have all the idea. When it comes down to it, I basically don't know where you are spiritually. I know where I'd like you to be. That's between you and the Lord. I know that if you're here without Christ as Savior, that Jesus paid it all, and that He's willing to save you if you'll come by faith and receive Him as your personal Savior. I know that as a saved person, He will do everything that I've said that I covered here in this, and I've only covered very little, if you would take Him at His word and do the things that He speaks about, again, from the heart, not because you're forced to do it, not because you feel compelled to do it, not because you think, well, I'll do this because I'll have a reward. No. The centurion, why was his faith so great, greater than all of the people in Israel? By thy word. Speak only thy word. And I know there's going to be results. We have the promise that His Word will never return void. And yet, again, we set the date, we set the time for when we do these things, when it's already been established for us. Is the Lord speaking to your heart this morning? I just pray that you would get a hold of the Lord and get these things settled in your heart. And then purpose by His grace to do the very things. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Wave the answer back to heaven. The only way we can do it is by that grace we will. And He's willing to give you that grace. Father, if we're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, I just pray that this would be the day, this would be the morning that we would come to Christ. How tragic to walk out of here and not know about tomorrow. If in fact we would ever go to heaven, or even not know today. The invitation is open. We give altar calls. And you know that, Lord. So that somebody that's deeply concerned about their soul can be reconciled back to you right now this morning. We'll have somebody sit with them and show them from your word. We will not give them churchianity. We will give them Bible, your word. Father, if you're speaking to we who are saved, we know that there's always room for improvement. But this is something that has gotten way out of hand. The profession, and not necessarily meaning that it doesn't stand for anything, but allowing ourselves to let down and to be discouraged and to be many other things and not be what we should be, when in fact we can be what we should be and really be astonished at what you do through us. Have your way here in the invitation, for we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.